the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back in.
We are back in action. Welcome to Walk It Off. I've got Ashley Chavez, Gemma Kaneko to my left. I'm Danny Wexelman. We have a great guest today and a lot to get to. But first, we need to talk about the pit and the peak of your Olympics experience so far. Gemma, I want to start with you, your peak and your pit.
I have been getting so into swimming. Like, yes. It's always so much fun to watch, but yes. Basically, I got really anxious watching Katie Ledecky last night. Today, well, I don't know what day today is, but she raced last night in what was supposed to be her weakest race, the 200-meter freestyle, and she, like, totally crushed it. But it was also so close with her and her Swedish rival.
Right.
So that was definitely at my peak because it was amazing.
Yeah. I saw a quote. She said that's the closest I've ever come to throwing up in the middle of a race.
Oh my God. Can you imagine doing that?
My heart was beating so fast just watching it from my couch, like surrounded by
right. Yeah. Okay. Did you veg out?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. I think my pit is the cyclist. I think she's Danish, the Danish cyclist who crashed just a couple miles from the end of the course. She was so close, and she, that's
like really
hard
back.
To see.
Ashley? Yeah, that's rough. My peak is Lori Hernandez.
Yeah.
Third Latina ever on the U.S.
Awesome.
Gymnastics team. Love her. Love the entire U.S. How could you not love that team? The final five, they're amazing. But Lori in particular, we're going to be seeing more of her, I'm sure, since she's a little tiny baby girl who's 16 years old.
Yes.
So I'm looking forward to that. Pit, I'm going to say the lifeguards that have to watch the swimmers because they look so bored. And I'm like, you have
a really good row
seat to this whole event.
Right.
You're getting actually splashed on. That's how close you are.
Yeah.
Please be happier.
Probably Michael Phelps sweat slash water.
They probably just feel really bad. They're just like, oh, everyone is looking
so inadequate.
Like, why are you even there?
That's even better. You're getting paid to watch this. Amazing sport.
Really rough life they're leading. My peak is the Michael Phelps meme that made its rounds and his like angry, serious, I'm not going to let anyone mess with me face.
Best face ever.
That's led to 21 gold medals now.
Yes.
And then my pit is, and we were talking about this earlier, is Katinka Hotsu. And she not only got a gold medal, but she broke the world record in the 400-meter. Individual medley.
Oh, my God.
And then the cameras panned to her husband, and they were like, that's the man responsible. So that's been a common theme throughout the Olympics.
Yes.
Is the men who are behind the women getting the credit for what they've been doing. But we're going to get
to
that.
Her.
We're
going
to get to all of that. We have Sports on Earth's Kareem Zidane joining us, and we're really excited to talk to him. Kareem, thank you so much for your time.
It's a pleasure.
We're so excited to have you.
Oh, and thank you for having me.
So let's get started and just talk about the Olympics. Something really quick and off the top right now, because you've been writing most of Sports on Earth's Olympic coverage. What for you has been the most exciting moment of the Olympics so far?
Well, so far there have been two things that really stuck out for me, and it's the women's gymnastics team, known now as the Final Five, and of course swimming. Now, to separate the two slightly, let's start with gymnastics. The entire team's performance has been not just dominant, they're going to go down as one of the greatest teams, if not the greatest team in the history of the sport. It's just incredible what they've done. The team has already made an emphatic statement in Rio. They won the all-around gold with an incredible 8-point margin, or approximately 8-point margin. That's 3 points wider than the margin that they had already created over Russia, who were in second place at London 2012. That's a remarkable statement to make. Now, just the team themselves, the squad, between Ali Raisman, between Gabby Douglas, Simone Biles, and all of them, is just an incredible team. Especially Biles now might go down as one of the greatest athletes in history. It's just watching her performance at the finals was just a joy, really. It's one of those times you really understand why you watch the Olympics. You're truly watching athletic excellence and the personification of greatness at those moments. And Biles really encompassed all of that. I mean, at this point, she even has a move named after her, the Biles, the double layout to the half twist, the only gymnast who's managed to accomplish that one so far. And that's just incredible to see. So I'm expecting even more great things for them. They're a joy to watch, and I'm going to continue to watch them as it goes on. But to move on to swimming, it's Katie Ledecky who's really shined. I mean, Michael Phelps at this point, it's only expected that he'd keep winning gold medals. And he's only adding to his medal count as if it's as easy as collecting stamps. But Katie Ledecky's proving that she's going to be the heir apparent for swimming. Now, Ledecky's already won the 200-meter freestyle, the 400-meter freestyle, the 800-meter freestyle rally. She won silver in the 400 freestyle rally relay, and arguably she's the best swimmer in the world. And she's a 9-time world champion, the current world record holder in the 400, 800, and 1,500-meter freestyle. I mean, it's just incredible, really. That's another example of another Team USA athlete that's really shining right now. So between gymnastics and swimming, it's really been a pleasure to watch the Olympics.
Yeah, it's been so exciting just to see these women completely dominate their sports. So speaking of swimming and also women, recently there was a little bit of controversy over the way that some NBC commentators decided to talk about Katinka Hotsu, who is known as the Iron Lady, and her completely crushing the world record the other night, and them seeming to give credit primarily to her husband, who is also her trainer. Did you catch any of that? Do you think that's part of the way that people talk about women swimmers, even though it hasn't really seemed to come up in terms of the women, the U.S. women swimmers?
Well, to be honest, I've only managed to catch the controversy on Twitter because I'm in Canada, so I'm watching the CBC coverage of it, so I did not necessarily catch those exact comments, but I did hear about them, and it's really unfortunate. Whatever the coach or whatever the announcer is actually meant to say, or what at the end of the day what they said sounded quite misogynistic and quite unacceptable, really. It was an irresponsible statement for no reason whatsoever. But I want to shift focus onto something else that I found to be a little more controversial when it came to Katinka, which is how irresponsibly people are just throwing out accusations of doping because of the margin she won her third gold medal by on Tuesday night. I mean, the 200-meter individual relay, she won it with an Olympic record time of 2 minutes, 6 seconds, 0.58, which was an incredible achievement. But just because people believe that this is her fourth Olympics and suddenly she's made a massive improvement, that they can throw out accusations of doping, I think that's way more detrimental than what the announcer said, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, it's pretty irresponsible to just throw around accusations like that. But especially when it's such a big scandal now. But do you have an opinion on doping and people who have been proven to dope coming back to compete in the Olympics?
Well, I think swimming is an interesting platform actually to discuss this topic, or to at least start the discussion, because much of the sort of the USA versus Russia, I don't know, at this point I even want to call it like a Cold War rhetoric, is what we're seeing resurface here at the Olympics. And I'm mainly referring to Lily King when she took aim at Yulia Efimova for the failed drug test. Now, Yulia Efimova failed for DHEA and served a 16-month suspension that was shortened from 2 years because they deemed it that it wasn't that she didn't take this purposefully, that it was ingested accidentally. But afterwards, she had failed again this year for meldonium. And again, the meldonium was its own extreme controversy, and many would consider it a blunder on the World Anti-Doping Agency's part, to be honest. So there's a whole lot of contested opinions and remarks when it comes to Efimova, yet King took aim at her and then won the women's 100-meter breaststroke final, which many people saw as a big victory for the United States and a big victory over doping. But I find it so hard to just suddenly lump Efimova up with the remainder of the scandal. And even the doping scandal itself, while it is a damning report by WADA, as a really damning one, and I'm not here to say that it's an incorrect one, but I think people are losing sight of the fact that it's mainly allegations right now and a whistleblower that has come out and said these things. This is not to say that it's incorrect. It's to say that it's inconclusive as of right now. And for us to openly suggest the banning of an entire nation over inconclusive evidence, it lacks the evidence, actually. These are statements and allegations thrown out right now. And for us to consider the complete banning of a nation from the Olympics based on that alone, I don't know. That seems like anti-Russia rhetoric to me at this point.
So what would be the logical next step then, in your opinion? What's the best thing that the IOC could do about these allegations?
Well, honestly, the IOC, the way they handled allowing the Russians to compete, increasing the stringency of the testing on the athletes, forcing them to follow a certain set of guidelines in order to actually enter the Olympics, was the best they could do with the amount of time they were given. The problem really was right now is that all these allegations and all these reports about corruption, whether it be within WADA, whether it be within all the many different international bodies right now controlling anti-doping and international sports in general, all these accusations came just a little too late for us to do the complete research and the actual thorough work required to come to a reasonable decision. Everything was short on time. We had about a month to come to this sort of decision. I think IOC did the best that they could at the time. I know many people expected them to ban Russia as a statement for clean sport, but I find that we're bordering right now, and the line is blurring between clean sport and the old school war on drugs slogan that used to go about. Because think of the countless innocent athletes that are going to suffer based on these assumptions. Yes, we're going back now and we're retesting drug samples that are coming back positive that were once negative. And that's really damning. That's very important to note. But at the end of the day, until we can prove each and every single one, and we have the evidence for every single one and it's conclusive, we cannot go about banning entire nations, which is why what has occurred in the Paralympics is, in my personal opinion, it's unfair, because they are going by the exact same WADA report. It's not like you have added information at this point. IPC President Philip Craven announced that the entire Russian Paralympic team would be banned from competing in Rio, and they based the decision on that same World Anti-Doping Agency report that their colleagues at the International Olympic Committee had studied. Now, that report specifically said that the Russian government had promoted a state-sponsored doping program between 2011 and 2015. But it was 27 samples relating to 8 Paralympic sports that were manipulated. Now, those are the 27 samples that they believed was enough to ban an entire nation from the Olympics. That is anything but conclusive evidence. Now, it should be noted at the same time, there's months to go before the opening of the 2016 Summer Paralympics. It's an approximation here, but those 267 athletes that have been banned now, they still have a chance to make it in Brazil because they've already filed their appeal with the Court of Arbitration of Sports in Lausanne. So it's playing a waiting game at this point. But I still can't see this as the result of anything but the fallout of the IOC's decision in the first place to let Russia compete in the Olympics. It's pressure from Western media to deal with the doping scandal. And again, it's one based on the claims of a whistleblower and no conclusive evidence. I can't stress this enough. There are so many athletes right now. Like I can think of one, Valentina Zagod. She's 53 years old, who used to be on the Soviet national team in the 80s. She nearly lost her sight entirely in a car accident in 2002 and took up Paralympic rowing. So they first took part in that. Her team first took part in the Beijing Paralympics, but they barely had time to train for that one, and they didn't perform at their best. They spent the last 4 years working towards their dream in Rio, and it has been taken away from them unfairly at this point. This is not the way you promote clean sport, in my opinion.
Yeah, that's definitely a story to keep an eye on to see how that develops for the Paralympics. I think you made some really good points. Kareem, I'm going to turn you over to Danny now. It's just Thank a heads you. Up that you're talking to a different person.
Hi, Kareem.
Hi, Danny. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for doing this again. You're a rock star, man. I are all over sports on earth.
Oh, it's my pleasure, really. I mean, yeah, it's all down to Gabe for giving me the opportunity really to take on the Olympics. It's not really what he had signed me up for, but yeah, it's a great opportunity, and I'm very happy to do it.
Yeah, your work is incredible. So
Thank
my
you very
question,
much.
Of course, Gemma covered a lot of things that we had been talking about, but what I want to know is, since you have been watching so much and reporting on so many things, is there a story or a person that's been maybe a little underappreciated? Or since there's been so much drama and people have been looking at maybe not the things that they should be at the Olympics, is there something that you've seen that stands out?
Okay, the story that stands out, but I find it hard to believe that it would be an underappreciated story at the moment, because everybody who I've spoken to personally about the Olympics has mentioned this person. And it's Yusra Mardini, the Syrian refugee swimmer. And her story is remarkable. And I can say, and I'll say this without the slightest worries, that when I was writing her story for Sports on Earth, my hands were trembling. I rarely ever display that sort of emotion when writing a story, but hers was so powerful and so impactful. I just couldn't believe it. This is what the Olympics is all about at the end of the day. It's this sort of athlete representation. It's what, and it's the mental fortitude that comes along with that that physical excellence that they show. And Mardini was all that and more. So her story began last year, last August actually, 2015, when she was trying to escape Syria and the Syrian war, which she'd had to endure since 2011, which included swimming in pools where the roofs had been blown open by bombings in Damascus. She ended up deciding that it was time to flee. She fled through to the Mediterranean, and as she was escaping on the water, their boat, the motor of the boat, broke down, and the boat began to sink. So what she and her sister did is they jumped off the boat, and they acted as human rudders, and they swam, and they pulled the boat for 3.5 hours in the open water, and late at night as well, until they reached shore. She simply refused to stop swimming. Her body went numb. She was tired. And she repeats the story. And what's incredible is she tells the story with a smile on her face. And when reporters ask, how did you do it? She said, what am I supposed to do? I'm a swimmer, and you expect me to die in the water? Of course I was going to swim. She says it as if it was the only possible human reaction. Yet 20 other people sat on that boat and did nothing about it. Men and women alike, some couldn't swim, but many could. Many did not jump in the water. Yet that 17-year-old at the time jumped in the water and went swimming. And then she ended up a year later being in Rio swimming in the Olympics. That's extraordinary. That is one of the greatest Olympic stories ever, let alone one just for 2016.
I have a huge smile on my face listening to you tell this story. I think it's really incredible. And the passion, you can feel the passion through your voice. And everyone obviously knows that story. And if they don't, then they've got to go to the internet right now and check it out.
Kareem, thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. He is covering everything Olympics on Sports on Earth, so please go check that out. So we're going to move to Trend or Trash. The plate is full. As always,
yes.
The plate is full.
So much going on.
First, we're going to start with A-Rod's retirement, Mark Teixeira's retirement. Well, A-Rod's retirement and not necessarily retirement from baseball.
Sure.
Mark Teixeira's retirement. And then Prince Fielder, who it should be announced on Wednesday that he is also leaving the game. So let's start with A-Rod first. And everything, it's been kind of a lot of opinions, a lot of things been thrown around.
Yeah.
Gemma?
I mean, it's definitely something that should trend just because A-Rod is a very big figure in baseball. He's this huge polarizing guy. Should definitely talk about it. I personally do not resent A-Rod the way that a lot of people seem to.
Yes.
He did break a rule, right?
He did.
More than once.
Yes.
Not great.
Yeah.
However, I think that A-Rod, unlike many other people, polarizing figures in baseball, we can actually say has served his time for breaking a rule of a child's game and not served his time for breaking a law of the United States, like some other people, perhaps, in baseball.
Sure.
So when people are setting him up as, this unforgivable villain, I just think that's a little bit ridiculous when, in our sport, we also have people who maybe are real-life villains to other people and not just to people who play a game for fun.
Sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's really kind of sad the way that this whole thing is tied to an end, but I know that he wanted to have a dignified exit from the game, and I think he's trying to make that for himself, so.
I think he got it.
Yeah.
I feel like,
do you?
I mean, I don't know.
You
Part
don't.
Of me, maybe I'm just hoping for this story, that the Yankees are just like, you gotta go. Here you go.
Yeah.
Friday, you're saying it. You have to do it. And that's just, whatever. It could go here, there, that doesn't matter. As far as him being a villain, you're exactly right. He never actually harmed anyone or did anything against our actual legal system. I do think, though, that he thought he was big enough to get away with steroids again, because Bud Selig was just like, no, you're not getting away with anything. I think he just tried to get over that. I don't like that at all. So I don't, obviously no one respects him for his PED use.
Right.
So
you could
whatever, I don't know. I'm really indifferent about it. I think it's been fun following him once he came back after his year-long suspension and how he just murdered the ball last year.
Last season.
And how he's kind of just not really done too much this season. But I'm hoping that he hits like 4 home runs on Friday and then gets a 700
home. Right.
I think that that'd be, it'd be that so funny.
Everyone has been, who I've talked to, has been really torn about how they feel about this. So either you are ready to see him go, you're like, good riddance, like, it's time for you to leave. And then other people are like, you have 4 home runs to 700. You did impact the game in a really big way. You made a mistake. You paid for it.
Multiple mistakes. Thinking you can get away with
it. Right. And but now, is it kind of a little bit karma that he is so close to a milestone? He potentially may never play again.
Yeah.
He's retiring how he wants in pinstripes for now. And he's going to play whatever role the Yankees want him to, and the Yankees will pay him his money. So it is kind of way more complicated, and he has been painted as a villain. But
And more and more stories are coming out of his terrible ways.
Yeah.
So it's like, it's hard not to look at him as a villain because these things keep coming out.
And that's the same thing that happened to Peyton Manning, right, when he went to retire. That huge Tennessee story came out about him as well. So I think people come out of the woodworks all the time when people are starting to go out and bring these things up. But for now, you know, he'll finish his last game on Friday, and we'll see if he gets those 4 home runs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because of that trend, I think all-around trend for us.
Okay. Yeah, yes. We'll try.
Very curious.
Okay, so Yasiel Puig went on Snapchat. He put out his phone.
Never go on Snapchat.
It was a long story. It wasn't just like, you know, a couple seconds. He made a really long story on Snapchat. And obviously this got back to the Dodgers. They told Puig, they said, we want you to get along with your teammates. We want you to figure out a way to, you know, have some camaraderie. So in my eyes, isn't he just doing what they asked him to do? Like, in Puig's mind, that's what he was trying to do, right? But maybe he didn't execute it in the best way. So I'm going to trend the fact that he used Snapchat to be friends with his teammates, but I'm going to trash the fact that none of his teammates said, stop doing what you're doing. This is not a good idea.
Yeah, because they're influenced by the superstar that's coming in and they want to fit.
I mean, probably paid for that party bus. Puig definitely paid for that party bus.
He paid for that entire thing.
Yes.
And that is on them. Like, if you don't want to, it's Snapchat. It's not like no one's going to see this. How do you not know how the internet works? But I will say.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they said to do that. He went too hard.
Yes.
That was the worst story I've ever seen in my entire life. It was screaming 90% of the time. And not even like fun screaming. It was like horrible screams.
That sounds like a boy. It's a very boy thing to do.
It's very like bro-y and weird, and
just,
I didn't like it.
100% trash this. Like, who cares?
Yeah.
Why is this a story? So what? I just really don't understand what the issue that anyone has with this is. That he's showing that he's like having fun in the minor leagues, like partying with his teammates. They wanted him to get along with
his teammates. They did ask him to do that.
I just don't understand. Like, he's not doing anything in these videos that's like horrifying.
True.
He's just being annoying.
Right.
Yeah.
So what?
Well, he's doing the thing that we talk about all the time. Like, he is having fun. He is being boisterous and he is making a scene, which is not a thing. Like, that isn't a thing. Bryce Harper trying to bring a little more life, breathe more life. Like, that. Puig is doing that, but the problem is he's not performing on the field. So,
exactly.
Like, he can't.
Exactly.
I feel like if you want to do that, you've got to back it up. If you want to act that way, fine. I don't care.
But, like, they already sent him down.
That's what I'm saying. That's what she's saying, is that if he couldn't get it together, this is shining a light on maybe reasons why. And
like,
then you're bringing in other people that are trying to make it to the big leagues. And they're looking at this. So GMs, but the way GMs look at it, which is why, remember how Robbie Cano and Melky Cabrera got separated? Because things were going nuts over there. And, I mean, they just don't like that. The GMs don't like it because the chances of you being able to perform on the field aren't as good. If you're partying all night.
If they can see that. The fact is that, like.
Well, they are seeing it with
Puig. Right, but what I'm saying is, like, everybody knows that, like, no one is just, most athletes are not just being, like, going home.
No, sure,
and, like, reading a book and going to bed and drinking a glass of milk at 9 p.m.
Some
like, that's not what's
happening. I mean, some are, and that works
for them. Joe Mauer's probably doing that. That's what he does. Probably has his
so
whole career.
So, Gemma, are you trying, you're trashing this.
I'm trashing this, because I just don't understand why it's a story or why it's anyone's, like, business.
You shouldn't be, I feel like you shouldn't be surprised anymore what is and is not a story.
No.
I
just think, like, that it is kind of a ridiculous thing to try to force this narrative onto athletes. Like, if you want to blame someone for your team's performance or whatever, it always goes back to, like, oh, this person is, like, partying too hard. And that is almost always ridiculous, like, to me.
Okay, all right. Shining a light on that, because a lot of people are blaming on that, and then we just watched it on a Snapchat story.
It's true.
It's also really creepy that Snapchat story is now watchable online, because isn't it supposed to not?
Someone probably screen grabbed it.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're gonna keep our tabs
Trashing as well.
You're trashing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also don't care.
Okay.
You're like, don't do that.
All right. So just a reminder.
I don't care what you do.
You're watching Walk It Off. I'm Dani Wexelman, Ashley Chavez, Gemma Kandeko. We are getting heated when it comes to Snapchat stories and Yasiel Puig. The important things in life.
Snapchat ruins my life.
Don't friend us
Draymond.
On Snapchat.
Yeah. So we're going to move on.
The Atlanta. Friend us on Snapchat, though. I don't do stupid stuff.
You'll just see me drinking milk and reading books.
We're not going to let Dani talk. Go on.
Fine,
we're not talking about Snapchat anymore.
Next
moving
topic.
On. Okay, the Atlanta Falcons are taking a stand. So they released former Utah State linebacker Torrey Greene, who was accused by four different women of sexual assault, and he was never charged while he was in college.
Whoa, what?
So, I mean, Trent, Atlanta Falcons, that's what you're supposed to do. Great, let him go. He doesn't deserve to be there.
I think I want to believe that Atlanta was doing the right thing. But I know it's because he wasn't good enough to make the team. And they're like, you know what? We're going to say something in good
you
PR.
Think?
Yeah. Oh,
wow.
Definitely. Yeah.
I also have that suspicion.
I don't.
Okay.
I feel bad, but I mean.
I feel bad too, but.
Football goes one direction. It's
I'm
like, if you're
now.
Good enough to. Exactly. I'm so cynical.
Yeah.
If you're really good, we're just going to sweep all this under the rug. But if you're not, then we're either going to just let you go and not talk about it, or we're going to make a whole thing about
wow.
it.
Wow. I mean, like, that's his reputation. That's his future. That's his life. Like, that's a lot to.
Yeah, well.
Put on somebody.
Oops.
You know, for not being good enough to make
look
the team.
Look cool. I mean, he ultimately did it to himself. So
true, definitely.
And
true.
I mean, that's the only good thing about what the Falcons did is that they're just like, hey, yo, this kid, no, we're not allowing people like this here and giving themselves a leg up on the situation and making themselves look good. And that kid deserves to have his reputation destroyed, honestly. So
yeah.
Don't feel bad for him at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we're trashing. We're
I'm
trending.
Gonna trend it though. I'm gonna trend it.
Yeah, we're trending.
I'm gonna trend it. I don't believe the Falcons, but I think they did it ultimately a good thing.
Trend. I want to find out more. I want to know.
Yeah,
if that
I,
is
well,
the
I
case.
Need to hear more about the story, so
okay.
I'll trend
yeah.
it. But right. I also have a very cynical opinion of probably yeah. what went on there.
Yeah.
Brandon Snyder of the Braves.
It is creepy.
Was DFA'd for his cousin. His first cousin.
Ouch.
First cousin.
Got called up in place of him.
Yeah.
Well, if that's not motivation to get back, I don't know what is. So.
If there was anyone to take your place, wouldn't you want it to be your family?
No.
He congratulated him, though.
He did.
On Twitter.
He said, I hope. That's,
yeah. Well, yeah, it's easy to on Twitter. You don't have to see your face. No, I'm kidding.
I'm going to trend it because I think this is super interesting, and I want to see how this plays out.
I'm also going to trend it because it's basically the beginning of a 21st century Shakespearean drama.
Oh,
so.
My God. Yeah.
Gemma, look at
yeah.
you.
Potentially. They're really good.
Could
yes.
be.
Yeah, could be.
Sticking with baseball, Tommy La Stella, Cubs infielder, he refused to report to AAA. He's not shown up. He was optioned on July 29th, and so now the Cubs are kind of thinking, all right, what are we going to do? You know, they really like him. They like his bat off the bench. So I was reading some articles about, like, the Cubs have been talking to him, like, saying, how are you? Like, you know, keep your mental health great. Like, all that stuff. But he hasn't shown up. He's back home in Jersey taking hacks by himself.
I'm sorry, the what team DFA'd you? Like, you want to stay on that team for as long as humanly possible, homeboy. What yeah. are you doing? I'm sorry. Boy, bye. Get out of here.
Trash.
So trash.
I think I'm going to trash this story as well, but for a different reason.
Okay.
Just because I feel like he's working through some stuff.
Okay.
I read an article yesterday about how he's talking to a sports psychologist. He's in New Jersey. He just, like, he said that he no longer puts baseball at the center of his identity.
Okay.
So if he doesn't want to, if he's not going to be able to play for the Cubs, he doesn't want to play for any other team, any other of the 30 MLB teams,
okay.
any minor league teams, whatever. He has this one thing that he wants to do, and if he's not going to be able to do that, he's just going to be at home.
Okay.
And I know that he's probably working through some thoughts and feelings about his
sure.
life and where he is, so I think
yeah.
he should have the space to do that without
it's
people
it's a regular
really
thing for someone
it.
His age.
Yeah.
Like, anyone in your 20s who's, I mean, you forget that they're people, too. They are people. They have
yeah,
problems
that's
and
true.
Issues.
I guess it's just, it's
yeah,
hard
it's
because there's so many people out there that just be dying to be on any
of
team.
Of course,
and
yeah. To have that chance and for you.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say it's disrespectful, but I would
no,
say that.
No, because everyone is different.
Yeah,
so.
I would say that it's definitely out of the ordinary.
Yes.
And he's
yeah.
taking a stand that could cost him the chance to do the thing, the one thing that
oh,
he
yeah,
wants to do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think it's very silly to know.
I'm going to trend it. I want to see what happens.
Yeah, I'm trend too.
We'll see what yes. happens. Okay, we have a few left.
Yes.
Hunter Pence, is there anyone else in the baseball world that could give themselves a black eye by hitting a foul ball and it coming back
I
to hit them? Wait for it. Buster Posey getting like a
face
chin burn,
slide.
A face
yeah.
first slide, chin burn,
yeah.
Coming into third base.
Yeah.
But on the bright side, Brandon Crawford went 7-for-8, and the Giants yeah. haven't done that since 1975.
Yeah, and I think
hitting
last time,
seven hits.
Yeah.
Like
it's
nobody.
Been
yeah.
No one. Yeah,
well, yeah.
exactly.
Right.
Yeah. It was incredible.
Yeah.
So I watched both all those things live. The first, when Hunter Pence hit that ball on his face, I was in absolute shock because I was like, why have I not seen this like 1,000 times before?
Yeah.
Like it only goes to your leg and you're leaning into the swing and
right.
your head is right above the plate. And you, like, your arms are back
here. He's also super erratic when he swings.
I mean,
like,
he's
his body is everywhere.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. And he leans over more than anyone else. Why is he not always having black eyes? Also, immediately was just like, I'm playing the rest of the game.
He's like, yeah.
And only had the day off because he had a scheduled day off the next day. Because dude would come out. Like, he would not be able to stop.
That's a true athlete.
Bochy. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, my team, the Giants, are really, really, really.
I like, I think you
right
said
now?
They're at war with themselves.
They're at war with themselves. Yeah, yeah, they're beating themselves up pretty bad, except for B-Craw, who is lifting the spirits.
Yeah, Gemma. So.
I mean, trend, all of these things. It's all been really fun. The gifts are great. So.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Cueto has been really giving it to Buster Posey on Instagram
oh,
right now.
I love it.
The slow-mo slide.
At first, I thought his teeth came out.
Oh.
I think he was worried. Oh,
so
he
had mouth.
I think my finger is broken.
Yeah.
So me and my dad were just like, oh, my God.
Right.
Please,
please
no
Buster.
I can't take anymore, especially
fingers.
Not with Buster. Yeah.
Okay.
He's fine. He's fine.
We're going to wrap this up with... We can't wait for you guys. Tim Tebow. Tim Tebow, gosh, we haven't talked about Tebow in months. Tim Tebow is making
again.
A comeback.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. He's making a comeback. He wants to come back to baseball. He wants to play. Sheffield said, this guy is going to be back in 2 years. You wait and see. He's going to be up playing.
Sheffield.
Yeah.
Never had it together. Lost his damn mind for sure if he thinks he's going to play Major League Baseball.
So he's backing him. And,
yeah.
I mean, Tim Tebow did – the Angels were looking at him. I'm pretty sure I read that. And he never filled out his, like, information card. So he wasn't eligible to be drafted. And now here he is coming back. I want to trend it because I want to see if someone who hasn't played baseball in 10 years could actually come back and play. If he does it, if he goes and he plays in minor leagues and he comes back, he's 29 years old. I mean, there's rules and whatnot. But I'm trending it because we haven't talked about Tebow in a while, and he's stirring the pot, and I kind of want the pot stirred right now.
We have a poll on Cut 4 that you can vote on how high you'll think he'll get in his baseball career. So what do you think? Do you think, like, a team will sign him, he'll never play, he'll make it to AAA? What do you think?
Make
it all the way?
I think he'll make it to AA.
All right.
Yeah.
AA.
Double A. I'll give him AA. Yeah.
I'm going to say he'd be lucky if he makes it to independent ball. Because no one's going to sign a 29-year-old who the last time he played was his junior year in high school. That's nuts. Also... I mean, no, I'm sure I've heard so many sides. He's a great athlete.
Yeah.
Yes, of course he's a great athlete. And he's doing well in the cages. Sure, that's great. But our very own Jim Duquette said, I'd like to see him face a breaking ball. And that's exactly right. I'm sorry. It's going to be a little bit different than the same pitch coming at you over and over and you're able to make contact.
Great point.
That's great.
Great point.
Also, you failed at the NFL, and if you think that so many years later, 12 years later, you can play baseball on a, like, major league scale,
right.
That's a slap in baseball's face, and there's no chance you're going to be able to make it up to that level. So, I don't know. I feel like it's very, it's a publicity stunt, and I don't like that. So, his agent's just like, ugh. Stop with it.
I know his agents were like, this is not a publicity stunt. So, but
yeah,
it's his
okay.
agent, so trustworthy,
yeah,
whatever.
I'm an agent.
But
this is not a publicity stunt.
I think that this had its moment of trending. It was fine while it was trending. Now it's time to not trend.
Right.
Yeah, get out of here.
If he ends up in minor league ball and plays and has a good time, that's fine. That's good for him. I do not think we will be seeing him on a major league team anytime soon. But I also don't think it's because he's necessarily, like, a bad athlete. Just that working on hitting a ball that way over and over, and especially if you're dealing with any different kind of pitch than just, like, being someone throwing to you at batting practice, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that takes years of specialization, and he lost all that time.
Exactly.
Like, that's why people are in the minors, to get better at that. And that time of his life is past already, so.
Do we know the
I think he might
age
even,
rules for minor leagues?
Because
I know
rules.
Certain teams have certain specifications
right.
as far as your age and signing you and stuff like that. I mean,
he's
going to hit a lot of walls.
I feel like he might even put together a respectable batting average in minor league baseball, but it's not ever going to be enough, I think, to get him.
I say indie ball is his best bet.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know what Allison Footer would say about this personally. Yes. So we'll have to circle back to see if anything comes through. So that's it for Trend or Trash. We're cutting it off. But we're going to cut you off. But we do, we've got to end on Ichiro. He finally earned number 3,000 with a triple.
I thought it was going to go out.
Well, yeah,
inside the park home run. I was hoping for something just, it was magical anyway. It didn't need to be anything more than a single. It was magical. Guys, thoughts on that?
My favorite thing is when they did his entire spray chart of all 3,000.
Yes, that was an incredible
graphic.
Isn't
that amazing?
Yes.
You see where majority of his, 99% of his home runs are where he hit that triple. And I was everyone says it, including Barry Bonds. He could easily play in home run derby. He controls where he hits the ball. He could easily have way more home runs, but he doesn't because he wants to keep the pace of the game going and this and that. So I think he was going for that homer at 3,000, but a triple is just as good because he can, he's showing off his speed. We want to see his speed.
I would have loved an inside the parker. That would have been amazing.
Dude, I know. How amazing would that be?
Oh God. This should trend forever.
Yes, forever.
And ever.
Yes.
And ever. Forever. Yes. Amen.
I think it will.
He's the best. Yeah. Ichiro is amazing. Ichiro is my favorite player.
Yes.
So many people say, my favorite player retired. Now I feel old. I will never feel old because
he's
will never retire.
Yes.
He's like, I want to play till I'm 50.
42 will forever.
Do. Will
that's
do.
Fine. Yeah, I'm okay with that. Yeah. Yes.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's going to be it for us this week, and we will catch you next week on Walk It Off.
Now the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and gone!